So we're going to be spending most of our time in the book of Judges. I will be looking at a few other scriptures, but if you are opening up your own Bibles or phones, you can make sure that you keep that at the front. Israel had turned to God as a last resort. Don't we sometimes do that? Can't do it, so God help. And so it was only because of oppression from their enemies that they finally called on him. They had only called on God because their situation had become unbearable. Their faith in God was not founded on their love and gratitude to the Lord, but they depended on themselves instead of the Lord. So they sought God only in times of crisis when they needed him. So we're going to be looking at chapters 6 and 7 in the book of Judges today. So Judges 6 and 7 gives us the account of how God can take someone insignificant in their own eyes and use them to defeat the enemy. Gideon was called by God to free the Israelites from oppression by the Midianites. So we're going to begin in verse 11 of Judges 6 and go through 13. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about? When they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord was abandoned us into the hands of Midian." I don't know about you, but I've often wondered, you know, you did miracles for other people. You healed people. So why am I not seeing that? All of us sometimes look within ourselves rather than to the Lord. So Gideon was perplexed. If the Lord was with them, why are they being harassed? Do we ever ask the question if and why? As believers, do we follow the Lord because we truly love him and trust him? Or do we serve him for what he can do for us? If our faith and love for God is genuine, we will follow the Lord in the midst of trouble, suffering, persecution, and loss. Gideon, knowing his human limitations, couldn't believe that God had made the right choice. He was not a military leader who would be strong and mighty. Gideon was timid, fearful, insecure, and he considered himself to be the very least in the family. However, Gideon did not recognize that it was for this very reason that God had chosen him. First point is in God's power. And we're going to be reading Judges 6:14. The angel assured Gideon that God's power would be with him. So verse 14. The Lord turned to him and said, Go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Even though Gideon was inadequate, God saw his potential. He saw what he could do in Gideon's life. And we can see that God calls things that are not as though they are or were. We need to speak into those around us with positive words of encouragement, saying things like, you're never going to be strong enough, good enough, or smart enough, destroys potential. We might be strong, be very, very small in the eyes of others, but we are mighty in God. So God's presence, point number two, and we're going to be looking at verse 16. Not only was God's power available, but God's presence would be with him. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites altogether. In other words, leaving none alive. Keep your place. We're going to be looking in Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. We may be overwhelmed by the magnitude of the task that God has chosen for us. Even though we may say to the Lord, I am the least qualified, we must be willing for God to use us. His power is available for us. So Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. We can't do it without him, can we? I can't. You know, we may try and stumble around and not wait on him. So all those who, like Gideon, earnestly seek to serve God can depend on God's active presence with him, or them, or us, or me. God is looking for those to serve him who recognize that their weakness is overcome through God's strength. We just need to be willing to be used as his vessel that is filled with his power and presence. This is the person that God can use. Someone has said that God never asks us to do anything he cannot do. I just thought, wow, you're asking me something, but you're going to do it through me. Praise you, Lord. Our weakness is not an excuse that God accepts. God equips and encourages us for the task, which brings us to point number three. And we're going to now look at Judges chapter 7, verse 2. We're looking at the God of the impossible. We've seen in God in his power, he sends his presence, and he is also the God of the impossible. Verse 2 of 7. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands. In order that Israel may not boast against me, that her own strength has saved her. So Gideon had started out with 32,000 men. God said he had too many men. Even this was only about one-fourth the number that the Midianite army had. God had Gideon reduce that number to just 300 men through a process of elimination. So less than 1% of the original number was whom God had to go forward. And just in that part, there are four biblical truths I want that are illustrated in the book of Gideon. or the story of Gideon, I should say. Number one, only God's presence and activity can ensure victory for his people. God is willing and able to work mightily through a small number of dedicated people. We're going to be looking at Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Zechariah, if you're not sure where to go, is towards the end of the Old Testament. And this is a powerful, powerful verse. And I've used it many times and have had many people say this back to me. Zechariah 4:6 says, "So he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty.'" So it's not by military might, not by political power, but by my spirit, the spirit of the Lord. God's method in accomplishing his work is never and not in man's power, but by his spirit. And number two, we need to have spiritual alertness and dedication. Not great numbers are of primary importance to God. Even though we are a small group of believers, we can do mighty things through Christ. Amen. Number three, our ultimate resource and strength to meet all of life's challenges can be found in God and Him alone. And number four, we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. Because this is something the Lord did not want Gideon's army to fall into. Pride in our accomplishments inevitably becomes a hindrance to receiving God's full power and his help. You know, we reduced from 32,000 to 300, so there was no way that they could take credit. So this scripture tells us in Proverbs 8:13, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. So the Lord had Gideon test his soldiers. And we're going to go back into Judges chapter 7, verses 2 through 7. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands. In order that Israel may not boast against me, that her own strength has saved her, announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead." So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. Wow, 22,000 of them were afraid, just totally in fear. God can't use fear. But the Lord said to Gideon, "There are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will sift them for you there. If I say, 'This one will go with you,' he shall go. But if I say, 'This one shall not go with you,' he shall not go." So Gideon took the man down to the water. There the Lord told him, "Separate those who lap the water with their tongues, like a dog laps, from those who kneel down to drink." 300 of them drank from cupped hands, lapping like dogs. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other men go, each of them to his own place. You might be wondering, well, what's the difference here? They both needed a drink, right? But one had their focus on what was right in front of them. The other one slept like a dog. Why? To stay alert, to look at what was coming. You know, the Lord has said to us to keep watch. We are to be looking for him in his return. So God, through a series of unusual tests, began his process of elimination, reducing his army to 300 men. So what could Gideon possibly do with a small band of men? Humanly speaking, he was helpless, but God would show Gideon that the battle would not be won with human strength. So my point number four, trumpets, pitchers, and torches. The Lord encouraged Gideon in order to alleviate his fear and strengthen his faith. So we're going to continue reading chapter 7 in Judges, verses 9 through 15. During the night, the Lord said to Gideon, "Get up, go down against the camp, because I am giving it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they are saying. Afterward, you will be encouraged to attack the camp." So he and Purah, his servant, went down to the outposts of the camp. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all other eastern peoples had settled in the valley, thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand of the seashore. That's a lot. I don't know if you can even picture all of that. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. "I had a dream," he was saying. "A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midian camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed." His friend responded, "This can be nothing more than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands." So when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshiped God. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, "Get up! The Lord has given the Midian camp into your hands." Isn't it just like the Lord to encourage us when we feel like a task is way too big for us? So their weapons were not the usual ones of warfare, but trumpets, pitchers, and torches. Yet this band of 300 men, equipped with strange weapons, destroyed the enemy. Wow. Let's continue reading chapter 7, starting at verse 16 through 22. Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them, with torches inside. "Watch me," he told them. "Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp blow yours and shout for the Lord and for Gideon." Gideon and the 100 men that were with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had changed the guard. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars. Grasping the torches in their left hands and holding in their right hands the trumpets they were to blow, they shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. The army fled to Beth Sita towards Zerara, as far as the border of Abel Meholah near Tabath. God demonstrated through this victory that he can do what he can do with people who are weak, with no ability or wisdom of their own, but are obedient to God. He displayed his power as the God of the impossible. Only God could have the victory. Only God could receive the glory. We too have a strong foe against us, whom we do not have any might. Excuse me. When we try to meet this enemy in our own wisdom and strength, when we use our strategy as we face him, we're defeated before we begin. We must remember the battle is not ours, but God's. When we are weak, he is strong. When we confess our weakness to God, it gives him the opportunity to demonstrate his mighty power. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. This will be our last scripture. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31. God never measures the victory with human strength or resources, but by his power, that all the glory may be his. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. So it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. God's standards are different from that of the world. God is now in the process of overthrowing the world's standards and wisdom. The power and wisdom of God through Christ and the cross is producing a spiritual revolution in human history that is nullifying the esteemed things of this present age. God is in the process of bringing humanistic philosophies, psychologies, and all other worldly systems to an end. We have the sword of the Lord. It's all we need, folks. I was listening to David Jeremiah Saturday morning, and he told this story. And I just thought, you know what? It kind of fits with what I'm preaching today. So there was a woman who had received a phone call from the school, and the nurse said, "Your daughter is ill. You're going to have to come and pick her up." So she went to the school and picked up her daughter and called the doctor to see if they could get in. Well, since there was no appointments available, she was told to pick up an over-the-counter medicine that would help her until she could be seen at the clinic. So she left her daughter at home, tucking her in bed, and then hurried off to the drugstore. Since her mind was on her daughter, she got out of the car, slammed the door, and there was her keys laying on the seat. Oh no, what am I gonna do now? My keys. Locked out of her car. So she called her daughter and told her what had happened, and it was gonna be a little while longer. And her daughter, of course, had the correct answer. Get a wire, get a coat hanger, and stick it in alongside the window, and then you can unlock it. She had seen that done in the movies, so of course her mother should be able to do that. Her mother went back into the store, got the coat hanger, praying for God to send someone to help her because she wasn't getting anywhere with that coat hanger. Just then, a car pulled up and a scruffy-looking man jumped out, and he was in the passenger side. And she said, "Excuse me, sir. Could you please help me unlock my car?" He took the coat hanger, bent it, and stuck it inside of the window and unlocked the door just like that. She threw her arms around his neck and she said, "Oh, thank you. I just appreciate what you did for me. You're such a good man to take your time to do this." He looked at her and he said, "I just got out of prison today. I'm not a good man." But God saw she needed an expert and sent the very best. You know, this is a little crazy, but he uses the lowly things, the despised things of the world to confound the wise. So what does God need to do? He needed to send an expert. We ourselves may be small, but we're pretty mighty in God. And don't look at your surroundings even here. Even with just our small body, nothing is impossible for those who believe. Amen. Let's pray. Father, forgive us for looking at ourselves, that we're going to do it, that we can accomplish every task. And Lord, help us to look to you. We need to recognize, and Father, we repent of trying to do everything ourselves and only turning to you when we absolutely need you. We love you, Lord. We thank you for what you are doing in this body of believers and what you are doing in every single heart of those who are called according to your purpose. In Jesus' name. Amen.